Hello, fair listeners. Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that teaches you the ways in which the greatest storytellers throughout the history of art live on through the world of professional wrestling. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline. Not with me at the moment is our other host, Tyler Ward. And that's because this is a very special episode of the show this evening. This marks a year of us doing this podcast, and we've got a lot of plans to keep making the show better and better for you. In fact, you're going to hear from us later this week for our TLC pay-per-view preview, and we're going to be doing an episode next week on Vince McMahon that you can download before traveling for the holidays. But before we get there, we thought we'd celebrate a year in by listening back to our favorite segment on the show, the Kayfabe 5000. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, let me tell you about the Kayfabe 5000. It's a machine of sorts created by our own Professor Tyler Ward, wherein once we pull the switch or the lever or really however the hell the thing works, I'm not really sure, once we are inside of it, we are transported to a simpler world where we treat everything inside the professional wrestling universe as if it were 100% factual. Now, what you're about to hear is the best of the best from our first year, and shockingly, there are some predictions that we actually get right, and make sure you stick around until the hour mark, because that's where we play our favorite Kayfabe 5000 segment in full, and that's when our guest host, Matthew Schott, brought us through his RPG Dungeons & Dragons version of our machine, based on his hit comedy show, The Saga of the Shining Emblem. So, without further ado, let's get kayfabing. Yeah, so we have this thing that makes our show different from every other wrestling podcast that you can possibly hear. Mm-hmm. And besides being an actor and a great musician, our very own Tyler Ward is also an amazing inventor and engineer because he went to Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. You see, can you tell him a bit about this invention that you have?
Absolutely. So you see, one of the mottos I like to live my life by is inventing the future. And so this invention I'm about to tell you about, this is called the Kayfabe 5000. Now, this machine that I have developed with the assistance of some of the wonderful engineers at Virginia Tech, this machine is going to allow you and I to enter the machine, and then while it is activated, the veil, if you will, the veil of professional wrestling shall be placed upon us, and we shall not be able to remove it.
So are you saying that we won't be able to tell what is storyline and what is real?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Andrew.
Oh, interesting. Is there any, like, potential brain damage that can happen from this machine? Are we the first test subjects?
Well, so you see, this is still technically what you'd call a prototype, so I'm not entirely sure.
John Cena's original gimmick?
It could be, without the bleached hair, so mm-hmm. without the flat top.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to hop in the kayfabe right now. I'm going to turn it on, and we're going to start to field some of the important questions that are going on in the professional wrestling world. And I think, you know, this is how you're really going to get the best answers to these inquiries.
All right, I'm ready whenever you are to flip the switch.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Hottest act in professional wrestling right now, the Bullet Club.
Yep. Selling more t-shirts at Hot Topic than Rick and Morty.
Absolutely, and that's tough. Too sweet. Oh, I'm sorry. One sweet.
Yeah.
Cease and desist. But so the Bullet Club has been on the social media outlets right now advertising the idea that they want to sell out a 10,000-seat arena show. Here's the thing. This could be fairly difficult. The last time, I believe, a professional wrestling promotion outside of WWE sold out a 10,000-seat arena was in the 90s. I believe it was WCW back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably, I would imagine that's probably the last company to do so.
So,
but
this
I'm not
is,
really good at math. So,
so this is a huge undertaking by the Bullet Club. But honestly, I mean, a lot of people believe they can do it. I, for one, I believe they can make it happen with the right card. So the question here is, Andrew, can you map out the perfect card that is going to sell out 10,000 seats?
Well, you know, the biggest name out there in wrestling, whether he's wrestling or not right now, is Daniel Bryan. And although he had been told by doctors that he had to retire because of his concussions, I think that he will make a miraculous comeback. And I think that he will be in the main event against Cody Rhodes. He will return to fight for the title that he made famous, the Ring of Honor World title, assuming that Cody Rhodes doesn't lose it to Dalton Castle at Final Battle this week or next week.
Next week.
But I think that Daniel Bryan, you know, if I believe what he's saying with his wife on Facebook and all of their Q&As, I think that he's actually been miraculously healed, probably because of the positivity in his credo.
Absolutely.
That will be the main event.
Absolutely. I think the power of the yes movement could have very well healed his concussions.
What about the other members of the Bullet Club, though? Like, who do they end up on?
Who
do they end up against?
I think this is a card where, in order to draw that number of people, you've got to have a lot of marquee matchups. Now, the Bullet Club itself has already got some huge names in it. You got the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody, of course, you know, already huge names in the indie professional wrestling scene. And I think that they can arrange a lot of some really dream matchups here. Honestly, what I think, if they're going to sell out 10,000 seats, we need one main event and one main event only. And I'm going to say it right here. It's going to be Kenny Omega versus CM Punk.
Oh.
Well, how do you feel about
that? You say that because one of the three locations that they say they might want to hold this pay-per-view in would be in Chicago. Which is where I believe CM Punk is from. But the thing is, like, is he really a draw now after he got beat by Mickey Gall at UFC?
I think that is a good question. How are we feeling about Kenny Omega versus Mickey Gall? Could that sell out a 10,000 seat arena?
No, I don't think so. I think Mickey Gall actually lost in his most recent fight last week. So
that
only makes CM Punk a worse draw. So I think maybe you're wrong on this one, Tyler.
Interesting. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm a Punk fan. Always have been. Probably always will be. I think that right there could be a huge draw. But we also are leaving out major players in the Bullet Club. What are the Young Bucks going to be doing on that show?
You see, I think this is what the real draw is that you take the two best indie wrestlers, in my opinion, the Young Bucks, and you have them go up against someone who's upset that they've been stealing his moves. And I think you have, coming out of retirement, coming out of being dead, I think you dig up The Undertaker and have The Undertaker handicap versus the Indie Takers. I think that is what will be on that card. I see no reason why that won't happen.
That's pretty good. And you would think that an entity like The Undertaker would return to kind of defend his honor, if you will. You got these two young upstarts stealing his moves and things like that. I can't see The Undertaker allowing that to happen.
I think, though, that like youth really plays a part, but how do you fight against someone who's dead? You bash in their brains. So I think that he will be de-zombified, and I think that the Young Bucks on this pay-per-view will literally decapitate The Undertaker. And I think that will put some butts in the seats.
I think you're right there.
I've done some extra changes. I've made some changes to the Kayfabe 5000. I've updated some pieces to it. I think it's going to be a little more effective this time. We might be
good, because I had a really bad headache for like a day.
I've updated some things. Ran some diagnostics. I think we're going to be able to stay in just a little longer this time without the detrimental effects.
Oof.
Okay. Oh. See, a little smoother.
Yeah, I didn't have to use the air sickness bag
this time.
That's a great feature, by the way, that you've put in this.
I did. You know, I thought it was important to add these things. It's the least I can do. So let's get started. Yeah. First question that we have here for the Kayfabe 5000. How Andrew, I ask you, how will Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens work together at the Royal Rumble in their WWE Heavyweight Championship match against the champion AJ Styles?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. It's a handicap match, and normally the champion would be at a disadvantage going up against two people, especially two people who are best friends, the way that Sami and Kevin are.
The best of friends.
But they can't both pin AJ and have the title. It's a one-person title.
Hold on now.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I think Kevin Owens established on this past week of SmackDown that they are, should they win, and I do believe that they will, when they win, they will be the first ever co-WWE champions. So right there, I think this is going to eliminate the possibility of any infighting between Sami and Kevin. We're not going to see any friendships, any rivalries here. Like, these are two guys who are going to work to beat AJ Styles and become the first ever co-champions. And
here's what I'll say, though, is that AJ is the fastest competitor in WWE today. And I feel like if he's going to win, and I think he's going to eke it out somehow, that he is going to win it by constantly moving and kind of making, I mean, I know Kevin can't move that fast, and Sami has some legs on him, but I think what AJ is going to have to do is get them both running at him and, like, move out of the way, have them bonk heads together, and then I think that will be the end of this
Three
coalition.
Stooges style. Okay.
Yeah, but with, like, two Stooges instead.
With two Stooges, of course. Okay. It's possible. I mean, I could see that happening, but I don't know. I mean, I think that two-on-one advantage is gonna bring that title home to Sami and Kevin. Now the question is, since they're gonna be co-champions, who's carrying the title around when they travel, when they're hitting the airport? Is Kevin carrying it? Is Sami carrying it?
I think Kevin will demand that he carries it everywhere except for when they get in the security line at the airport, and then he'll be like, "You can have it, Sami."
Here, Sami, hold on to this for a second.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen. Maybe they'll cut it in half. Maybe it'll be like a really, really big belt that they get together and like snap it in, and they'll be it'll be around both their waists. But again, I don't think we're gonna have to worry about this, in my opinion.
Wonder Twins power activate. They clip the belt together to become the WWE champion. I like it.
So the next question we have is about Wrestle Kingdom from this past week. The inconsistent refereeing from Red Shoes, the referee, during the Chris Jericho Kenny Omega match. Who did it benefit in the end?
I mean, in the end, Kenny Omega did win the match, so you could argue that Kenny Omega benefited the most from Red Shoes' inconsistencies. But, honestly, I think it benefited Chris Jericho the most. Chris Jericho took a lot of liberty in that match. Of course, it was a no-disqualification match, so, I mean, you can't sit there and call it and say he was cheating or anything. There were no rules.
But even then, he was going a bit far.
He was going a bit far, but he wanted to win the match. Jericho's a professional, all right? Mm-hmm. He's going to come out there, he's going to do what he has to win. I think Red Shoes understood the magnitude of this match, and he was going to allow the rules, quote-unquote rules, it was a no-disqualification match, to be bent a little bit to allow a little more excitement in there.
I have an issue with it, though, because in the opening moments of the match, Chris Jericho got Kenny Omega in the walls really early, and, you know, Kenny got to the ropes, and of course there was no rope break because it was a no-DQ match. Mm-hmm. But then later in the match, Kenny hits his finisher and goes to pin Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho got a hand on the bottom rope, and that ended the pin. But how can those both can't be the rules? It can't work both ways, you know. And I feel like in both of those situations, it helped out Jericho. So I'm wondering, did Jericho like pay off Red Shoes? And if so, what should the punishment be?
I think someone's grasping at straws over here to think that Chris Jericho.
What's wrong with straws? I like straws. It's how I prefer to drink my Coke.
To think that a man with the level of integrity like Chris Jericho would attempt to pay off an official to help him in this match, I think it's ludicrous. And we also, I mean, we saw in the match, Red Shoe's son, one of the young boys, was giving Chris Jericho some lip, so he had to put him in the walls himself.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, maybe if Chris wasn't spending so much time on things that and people that weren't important, maybe he wouldn't have lost the match. Just saying.
Oh, sir, them's fighting words.
Don't tell Chris Jericho. I don't want him to know that I'm putting out fighting words.
When I attend the next Fozzy show, I will inform him.
I saw that you drove here, Tyler.
I did.
Did you happen to bring anything in your car with you?
So here's the thing. As you know, the Kayfabe 5000 is quite a large piece of machinery.
Yeah, it's like the old school computers that take up a whole
exactly
room.
So unfortunately I couldn't bring the full Kayfabe 5000, but I have had my scientist create a prototype that is the portable Kayfabe 5000. Now, as you can see that I've placed here upon the desk.
The travel version? Oh, wow, look at that.
This is the travel
thing.
Version.
Yeah.
And it comes in this nice, stylish suitcase.
Yeah.
But, so it's going to be the travel version. Again, we're still kind of working out the kinks on this one as well. So, we're going to see how it goes. But I think we can hop on in and field some of the Rumble-specific questions.
Yes, we got mostly Rumble-specific ones. So let's can you flip on the switch? Does this one have a switch? I see it's in a Samsonite piece of luggage.
Yeah, this actually has a dial.
Oh, what number do you turn the dial to?
11, of course.
Okay, great. You want to turn it up?
All right, we're going to turn it.
The first question is, what would your strategy in the Rumble be? What is the best strategy in the Rumble?
I mean, clearly the best strategy is to, as we've seen time and time again, get your way out under the bottom rope, wait it out. Everyone's going to be inside the ring trying to throw people over the top. How are they going to throw you out of the ring if you're not in the ring?
Yeah. I mean, you want to stay grounded, I guess, because then you can't be throwing up. But
Call it.
I think it's kind of cowardly, don't you think?
Oh, please. That's nothing. I don't care about cowardly tactics. I'm trying to win.
Okay.
W.
Yeah, but, you know, can you feel good about a dirty win?
I can feel pretty good in the main event of WrestleMania.
That's true. I think my strategy, because this is what worked for me growing up playing No Mercy when you do the Rumble, is you do the Bradshaw overhead hammer punch. That would always stun people into backing up into the ropes, and then they would fall over.
Yeah.
So I would go in, change my moveset, and do this, assuming that I'm like a virtual wrestler. I don't know. I feel like I think the best way is to try to make as many friends as possible in the Rumble. Not just because I love friendship, but also because
maybe buy some cheesesteaks beforehand.
Yeah, and just hand them out to people. Yeah. Give it to anyone who's physically more imposing than you. I think that's the way to win.
That's fair.
How do all the bigger names in wrestling seem to get those last 10 spots in the Rumble?
I don't think they show up until the Rumble's halfway through.
Yeah, and they just demand that, like, hey, like, limo, where did my number go?
The limo is stuck in traffic.
I like to think that karma rewards them. That like, these people who have been good competitors all year, the gods look down on them and say, like, hey, Daddy-O, that's how in my interpretation of the gods, is how they speak. They're like, here's a good number for you, man. You'll be totally fine.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I like to think that people who...
Yeah.
Who deserve it.
I think the limos are stuck in traffic. That sounds about right.
Kevin Owens fan 1995. I don't know if that means that they've been a Kevin Owens fan since 1995. Or if they were born in 1995.
6 years before he started wrestling.
Yeah. They ask, how do wrestlers just seemingly come out and say, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble? Why doesn't everybody do that?
Well, they make a very good point. Because, I mean, shoot, like, I could have just announced, hey, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Are you announcing you're going to be in the Royal Rumble? There's still 12 spots.
There's a lot of
I can see the Wells Fargo Center from where we are.
There's a lot of empty spots. Granted, I don't have the cable television platform to do it, but I don't know if
that
would
stop me. This is a pretty big platform.
It's a pretty big platform. So, see, I think it could possibly work.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
I might be entering the Royal Rumble.
Go see the betting odds on Professor Ward in the Rumble.
Yes.
Ginger Ninja 1324, not 1234. Ginger Ninja needs to go back to math class. They ask, why don't more people use weapons in the Rumble, considering it's a no DQ match?
We have seen it before. One of my favorite Rumble matches of all time, the 2001 Rumble, for a brief I'm going to say 20 to 25 minutes became the hardcore rumble.
Yeah.
I have vivid memories of Al Snow throwing in a trash can that mm-hmm. also held many other, a random assortment of weapons inside of it.
Yeah. I remember 98, Chainsaw Charlie with the chainsaw scaring people out of the ring.
Of course, that happens. but yeah, it makes sense, but at the same time, think about it in terms of when they make the entrance, you got to run all the way down the ramp to the ring. And, you don't want to be carrying a chair with you when you
do that. Weapons are heavy. What would your nickname on the back of your jersey in the XFL be? The most famous XFL footballer, I was about to say wrestler, XFL footballer was He Hate Me. What would your nickname be?
If you got to think of it in terms of what's going to be marketable to people,
gotta sell those jerseys.
If I'm going to have a jersey in stores, I want families buying it. I want kids getting it for Christmas under the tree. So I'm probably I'm going to have to put Big Boy Number 4 on there.
Wait, would you have a number as well on your jersey, or would your name be Big Boy Number 4, but your jersey number would be like
Big Boy
12.
Number 4, and he's number 12? Yes.
That's
next
true.
Question. Why do the general managers seemingly not have shows planned out when they get to the arena and instead book matches during the show itself?
What would you say on this, Andrew?
I think that it's what probably happens is that these managers, they come in with their book and they're like, oh, well, these are the 5 matches I'm going to have. And then one person starts the show by running out to the ring and running their mouth about someone else. And then they totally ruin the plans that they have. And you can only do that so many weeks in a row before you're like, I'm not even going to try to plan this anymore. You people just want to keep calling each other out and saying, I'm going to challenge for this title without earning it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, fine. You do that. I think that's probably where Kurt Angle is at this point. One last question that maybe I should answer because I actually watched 205 Live this week, unlike someone else I know. I think you'll like this one. During the match between Hideo Itami and Roderick Strong, the camera caught Roderick yelling this phrase, come on Kenta, a few times at Hideo. What could he have possibly meant by the word Kenta?
I don't know. It's not a word I recognize. But...
yeah, is that like... is that like another language, or I don't know. Hideo Itami is Japanese, and like maybe he's speaking Japanese. Do you know any Japanese? Does Kenta translate to something?
I'm afraid I don't know any Japanese. We know that Roddy Strong is a family man. He's got a newborn child right now. Maybe Kenta is some sort of playful baby talk he might use with his child, and maybe this is his way of belittling Hideo Itami, like, come on,
calling
Kenta.
Him a child.
Yeah mm-hmm. I could see that. Maybe.
Well, he certainly has a brittle body of a child. That was a really hard take for me to say, but I'm sorry, Hideo. I apologize. I only want the best for you. We do have some time, Tyler, to take a spin in the Kayfabe 5000. Have you done any adjustments to the machine since last time we used it?
So nothing internally. I've added some sweet decorations to it. I put a nice banner over the front. It says, WrestleMania on it, of course, gotta let everybody know. It's everything's been working fine. I think we can go ahead and hop on in and see what we got.
Do we have to start it by pointing to the banner? Is that how we start it up now? Pointing to the WrestleMania banner?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It gives, if anything, it helps us get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. All right, do you want to do the honors? Ooh, man. I got kind of stuck in the banner for a second there. I thought I was going to
get suffocated. You got to watch out for that, man. Got to watch out for
that.
So, now that we are here in the Kayfabe 5000, Andrew, we got some great questions this week as well. First question that I have for you... Since we don't know yet who Braun's partner is going to be, in the event that it is, in fact, the Drifter Elias, why would Elias accept to be the partner of Braun Strowman?
I don't think he'd have another choice. I mean, I think it would be the kind of... I think this is kind of how the scene would go. Enter. Backstage. Elias strumming his guitar. Trying to tune it, trying to get that E to sound as good as possible.
Possibly playing Wonderwall.
Enter Braun Strowman. He doesn't open Yeah, yeah. Braun Strowman, he doesn't open a door. He literally just walks through a wall. And he's like, you, partner, now. Elias goes, well, what if I don't want to be? And then Braun Strowman picks up a piano and holds it over his head. Mm. So I don't think Elias would really have a choice in the matter. What do you think?
I think Elias, you know, it's going to be hard for him to turn this match down because, I mean, it's pretty much a guaranteed win at WrestleMania. Now, we know that Elias doesn't want to be in New Orleans in the first place. He thinks it's a garbage town. But, I mean, what better way to leave than go in, grab yourself some nice championship gold, and get the hell out of there?
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. I think it's a win-win situation for Elias. The next question we have is, will Sasha and Bayley's relationship problems help or hurt their chances of winning the Battle Royal?
I think it's going to help one of them.
What will be a bigger negative in their match? Brian's ring rust or Shane's injury? His injury, of course, being him being slammed into that genie lift thing backstage.
Yeah.
And those, yelping like the grape lady.
Odd yelps that came out of his body.
That was the sound of being injured, of getting a hernia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it could be Brian's ring rust. Look, ooh. Shane McMahon, we've seen him take many a worse spill than being powerbombed on a ladder backstage. We've seen this man fall from the heavens through a table on multiple occasions. Yeah. I think Brian's ring rust could be the problem. He hasn't wrestled officially in at least, I believe, a year and a half, 2 years in WWE ring. It could take him a little while to get back into the groove of things. As we saw last week on SmackDown, he got beaten down. Well, 2 weeks. I apologize. 2 weeks.
Two
ago.
Weeks ago. Yeah.
He got beaten down in the ring.
Clearly, if you need to look at the calendar, I can show you. I think 2 weeks ago was Rusev Day. Also,
but it was in fact Rusev Day. On Rusev Day, he got beaten down, and you know, I mean, I don't think he's quite back up to snuff as he needs to be.
Mm-hmm. I will note, it's funny that you mentioned that Shane has, you know, fallen into a table from the heavens, and oddly enough, that wasn't in his match where he fought God. Which is a match that did happen. Someone wants to know, will the Bullet Club still be a faction come the end of Super Card of Honor?
All I'm gonna say is yes. The Bullet Club will in fact be a faction because it's going to be led by the bad boy, Tama Tonga.
Tama Tonga?
Yeah.
You think he's gonna come out at the end of this and like? And just take it back, take it over.
I think he will. Whether he shows up in person or not, I think we're gonna see Tama Tonga make his claim to the Bullet Club known. He is Bullet Club OG. He's been there from the beginning, and as we've seen on Being the Elite, he's above all this stupid infighting. Man, he knows what the Bullet Club's about. He knows what they're supposed to do, and he doesn't need all this. He's gonna take it over for himself.
Maybe he's what they need to like come in and repair the men's with everybody and get everybody back on the same page. Hopefully it ends better for him than it did Mercutio. Will NXT TakeOver New Orleans be better than WrestleMania 34?
Please, not even a question. It certainly won't be. Is NXT the showcase of the Immortals?
I don't believe it is, no.
No, it's not, because it's not WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the granddaddy of them all, biggest show of the year, Super Bowl of wrestling. It's got to be WrestleMania.
All right. I mean, I think it may have, like, the best 2 hours, like, the 2-hour stretch this weekend. But I love NXT, but I have to stick with you on this. I feel like just there's no stage grander. There's nowhere else that people would rather be. Although I do kind of want to be at Pancakes and Pile Drivers. So maybe that would be the best show of the weekend. I think I'm still going to go on record. The best show of the weekend is going to be Pancakes and Pile Drivers. And we haven't gone in the Kayfabe 5000 in quite a while. Have you done any updates to it? Can we jump back in?
Well, I have. You know, we've had a lot of time off here from the Much Ado About Wrestling podcast. We've had a lot of time to work on a lot of things. So I've been messing with a few things. I don't get your hopes up too high here.
Done.
It's still in the prototype phase. Mm-hmm. But I have added one flux capacitor to the Kayfabe 5000.
Did you say flux capacitor?
I did.
Frankie Kazarian's old finishing move?
If my calculations are correct, mm-hmm. This is going to allow us to not only step into the world of kayfabe, but also it will allow us to step into the world of kayfabe within the future.
Ooh. So we're going to go to the future and then come back from the future? See how I avoided a copyright issue there?
No, Andrew, that's completely absurd.
Oh, okay. Is it fair to say that once we crank this baby up to 88 miles per hour, we're going to see some serious shit?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I would say that. That is fair.
Great.
But yeah, so I think if my calculations are correct, which I'm pretty sure they are, I checked them 88 mm-hmm. times.
Good.
If we go into the KFA 5000, flip that switch, we will not only be thrown into the future, but we will come back with a brand new knowledge of mm-hmm. what wrestling is going to look like down the line.
Great. I can't wait.
All right. I mean, I know I was going to maybe get ready for it, but you know, you just got to hop into these things.
Got to hop into it. Is the flux capacitor fluxing?
Well, it's certainly capaciting.
Oh, okay. That's a good sign. All right. Do you want to crank it on and turn it on?
I'm going to do it. Okay, here we go. Flip that switch. Man, you know, you never think that somebody like Noam Dar is going to succeed so much, but wow, I'm happy for that guy.
Yeah, that was, oh man, we've seen a lot in the future. The future was really bright. We didn't have to wear shades, but it was an incredible journey that we just went on. Oh, it feels good to get out of the kayfabe too. We opened up the suicide doors and stepped out.
Suicide doors was a nice touch, though, right?
Yeah. I thought that was really nice. It's good to see that those are still in style in the future.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many things that we now have knowledge of that we can talk about. I mean, I could just tell everybody what the results of sporting events are going to be so they can bet on them, but I think that would be immoral.
Yeah, that's probably not the best idea.
So maybe we should just stick to wrestling-type things.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Do you want me, can I ask you to start sharing some stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a huge fan of Kenny Omega. He's one of my top guys. And I gotta say, man, after coming back from the future and seeing what he's been doing, wow, I am proud of him. Look at this man. He's year long run with the IWGP heavyweight title. That is impressive, man.
Who did he defend it against? I can't remember all the people, but all the people he's defended against.
We definitely saw some. You gotta love that Wrestle Kingdom culmination that he had with Kota Ibushi. Great match, mm-hmm. amazing match. Yeah. I was a big fan of the triple threat he had with the Young Bucks, man. That was crazy. Who saw that coming?
I certainly did not, but then we did see it. The number of spots in that match were pretty entertaining. In fact, it's mm-hmm. now referred to as the best triple threat match. It has taken over the TNA Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels match. So now the greatest three-way match of all time is the Young Bucks versus each other and Kenny Omega.
It was great. I think Meltzer gave it 33 and a third stars.
Yeah, which is not the highest that he's ever given, but it's the second highest now. Did you think it was interesting, the announcement that he made right after Wrestle Kingdom?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially how he made that announcement. Wow.
Yeah, he ascended. There was a platform in the middle of the ring, and he was standing on it, and it ascended up really high above so that everyone could see him. And he announced that your prediction was correct, Tyler, that he did decide that now that he had achieved everything he could in New Japan, that he was going to go to the WWE. So I'm excited for you all to see what he ends up doing there, but we won't get into that. You just asked what was going on a year into the future with Kenny. So,
But God, you gotta love seeing success like that, especially for a guy like Omega. However, not so much success for our friend CM Punk, though.
Yeah. I have to correct myself a bit because my calendars are all mixed up. But a few days before this podcast that you're listening to now, I think he just won a court case against WWE doctors, which that was a nice moral victory. But it happened right in the training period for his fight at UFC 225. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Was that right? Okay, good. the time travel, it really messes with your memory. And that fight did not go well. It was very embarrassing. And people thought you would never see him fighting in mixed martial arts again, and they were wrong. He went into the hole for a bit and then signed with Bellator. And, you know, again, he was trotted out as this big pay-per-view draw, and he'd sold some pay-per-views, and they did it from Chicago, and he didn't get past the first round, and he got knocked out. I think now, with the first time of him being knocked out, you would think that would be the end of his MMA career.
You know, you'd think, but I couldn't believe after that when he put on a lot of weight, and he thought, you know, he could maybe go up a couple weight classes or two.
Yeah.
But then the fool hops in there with Rampage Jackson and just...
Yeah, him and King Mo, and it's like none of these people can win anymore, and Punk could never win as an MMA fighter, and it was like, well, maybe he will finally come back to wrestling, but, you know, WWE fired him on his wedding day, and they sued him before his second big professional fight. And he just doesn't have any interest to do that, no matter how much we want him to. I'm sorry to tell you that even down the line, he really has, you know, cemented himself as the even more modern day Bret Hart. But he's not going to come back to WWE. I don't think ever.
No, we
didn't go that far into the future, but.
No. I did see that article, though, that he was considering doing commentary for the Cubs. And hey, that could be a good thing. I think, you know, things might turn around for Punk.
Well, that's good, because he was going to try to get his way onto the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm sorry. They changed their name in the future because of PC reasons. They're now just the Chicago Hawks. And he was going to try to be one of their goalies now that he put on some weight from being a heavyweight. But he's never played competitive hockey. So didn't work out that well when he let in 8 goals on the first game. Well, I think that's really all of the stuff about the future that we should let people know at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we could bore you guys right now with, you know, who's going to be the next president or something like that. But you
of space. Yeah.
Stuff.
We'll let you figure that out in due time.
Andrew and I are going to hop in the kayfabe this week. And in the, you know, spirit of learning about Dave Meltzer today, we are going to try to predict, if you will, how Dave Meltzer saw a couple matches that we have listed for each other. This could be pretty interesting. Andrew, you ready to hop into the kayfabe?
I am. I have my seatbelt on.
First up, this was a match that happened at SummerSlam 2005. This was an amazing match. This was a match for some of the highest stakes I've ever seen. A ladder match for the custody of Rey Mysterio Jr.'s son, Dominic.
Boy.
It was Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Eddie Guerrero in a ladder match.
Ooh, yeah. I remember this match fondly. I remember the buildup for it, and it was a type of story that I feel like we don't see very often in wrestling. It was very visceral and involved the custody of a child and whether or not his dad was his real dad.
One of my favorite wrestling t-shirts of all time, I'm Your Poppy.
yes, the I'm Your Poppy shirt. I feel like the feud may have been just so real that Dave couldn't handle it, and that actually took away stuff for him. So I'm going to say that Dave probably gave this a tepid 3 stars flat.
Ooh, that was very close. I think you were feeling it with Dave on that. Dave gave this a 3.5 stars. Oh, right, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say that that Dominic now is training to be a wrestler. I saw that on someone's Instagram. It was him standing next to some very short guy with a face that I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Hey, this guy Dominic is training. I'm proud of him." I don't know why he was proud of him. I don't know who this guy was, but I'm sure the Rey Mysterio somewhere senior probably also has some interesting things to say about or junior, yeah. not senior. The Rey Mysterio junior has some interesting things to say about Dominic's foray into wrestling.
And you know, maybe one day he'll grow up to be a great wrestler and he can get a 3.5-star match of his own.
yes, I think he probably could. Do you want to go to your next one, or do you want to do? Okay, so I have some matches for you as well. I did a little bit of a theme, so I only picked WrestleMania main events, and one of these is the worst rated WrestleMania main event of all time. One is the highest rated WrestleMania main event of all time, and one is just like another one thrown in
rando.
There. Okay. So just keep that in mind as we're doing this. I wanted to start with the main event of WrestleMania 32. This is only a few years ago. This was at the Cowboys stadium, which is not the name of that stadium. but it's the really big one with the huge scoreboard video thing.
This was the one they broke 100,000 attendance. Wasn't that, this was the one?
Yeah. That was the most notable thing of this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So this was the main event.
A flamethrower? That was the most notable
that
thing.
That was pretty great. The Rock versus Eric Rowan match. This was Roman Reigns versus Triple H. How many stars? I remember this match. I remember dozing off by the end of it.
Ooh.
But how do you think Dave saw this?
Oh, man. I definitely remember this match. I remember watching it live, and I remember not being too happy about it at the time. But, you know, you got to understand, this was also, you know, this was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. They broke the record. They had over 100,000 people in that stadium.
Legitimately, because we're in the Kayfabe 5000.
Legitimately, over 100,000 bodies in there, whether they were in their seats or not. And, you know, I just think that maybe Dave was feeling that as well. You know, maybe he was like, hey, this is a momentous event. I'm going to give this, I think this is a good 3.5 stars as well.
You were so close. It was 3.25 stars. So it was right in there. Okay, so from one main event to another, this is a match that we've talked about many times before on the podcast. This is maybe the most famous wrestling match of all time. It was the premise of the recent HBO documentary. This is Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan for the title at WrestleMania 3. So this was the Irresistible Force versus the Immovable Object. This is the most famous wrestler of all time versus maybe the second most famous wrestler of all time. Certainly the only one who's been in a movie directed by Rob Reiner. So what do you think he thought of this?
Man, this was, I mean, could you think of a more iconic match? This was huge. This changed the business, you could say. And you know, maybe in some parallel universe, there was a time where maybe you and I reviewed this match and we talked about what Dave actually rated it, but
yeah,
you know, that's just a potential of what could have happened.
I don't remember that. I may have been drunk. So.
Yeah, if I were to guess, I think that Dave probably enjoyed this match, much like a lot of people did. You know, I enjoyed this match a lot. I think this match easily was probably somewhere around 4.25 stars.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tyler, the rating on this match does say 4 stars, but it says -4 stars.
Oh,
this is the worst rated main event in the history of WrestleMania.
Oh, Dave according was to not Dave. Feeling it. Dave was not feeling Hulkamania.
Yeah, Dave has been pretty critical of Hulk Hogan matches, but this is one that I feel like the build and the feeling in the building would have been enough to at least give it a positive rating. Ooh. But I don't know what happened. What do you think happened to Dave that day? To
I make think Dave, him was, just... Dave was a Warrior fan. Dave was
yeah.
not a Hulkamaniac.
I mean, it was also right after, or two matches after Rick Steamboat versus Randy Savage. So maybe Ooh, that's he just true. Was he could have been all starred by... out.
He didn't yeah. have any stars left to give. That's what it was.
No, that's where they all went. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now it's time. You now know that this is the highest rated match in the history of WrestleMania.
Okay.
2 stars. Yes, this is from WrestleMania 26. Ooh. And this is The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. This was the second. This is the streak versus career match Ooh. For them. So Shawn Michaels' last match.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
This was huge. This was, I remember the build to this. I remember this match. The build was basically Shawn Michaels is now Jesus, and he is mm-hmm. going to face The Undertaker, who is now the devil.
Yep, all white versus all black.
This was good versus evil, the light versus the dark. I remember it fondly. And I think Dave remembered it fondly very well as also. I got to, you know, this is a 5-star match. This has got to be a 5-star match.
It was a trick question because it's the highest rated, but it's tied with other matches. This one is also 4¾ stars.
Got him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, and a cat just made the exact same noise that you did here, Tyler. I guess one of my cats jumped into the KFA 5000 with us. Yeah. Yes. So there's only a few matches that have reached that 4¾ at WrestleMania. Mm. The other one came from WrestleMania 17 and was TLC 2. Yep. So Shawn Michaels is in 2 of the 3 best matches ever at WrestleMania, according to Dave.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about time we hop out of the kayfabe.
I gotta get this cat out of here.
Yeah, that's probably not great for that system. All right, here we go. Let's get out of here.
Now,
yeah.
I gotta ask you the question that's on everybody's mind. Why does Matt Riddle not wear shoes when he wrestles?
Yeah, that's really confusing to me, because I feel like you wouldn't want to go barefoot because other people got boots and they could step on your toes and it would hurt.
That would hurt real bad.
My feeling, though, is that it actually doesn't hurt him. I think he just has bad circulation in his feet, so his feet always mm-hmm. feel fine.
Yeah, yeah. See, I was thinking it could have been something along the lines of, you know, maybe he's got a little more balance on his bare feet. You know, he's not hindered by these large, bulky wrestling boots that everyone else is wearing. You know, he's just got
that could be it.
The feeling of the mat underneath his feet. You know, maybe that really helps him in his game. Some people know this man by other means, but I know him as the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, David Arquette, has recently returned to his career as a wrestler. He even won a recent tag match against none other than James Ellsworth.
The Chinless Wonder.
The Chinless Wonder. So I got to say, Andrew, he's back. What is his ceiling? Where do you see David Arquette going?
Ooh, man. I feel like he probably won't be called back to doing movies again unless they make another Scream, otherwise I can't see him being in another movie. Mm-hmm. But he is
Ready to Rumble 2.
Yeah, he is a former world champion, as you
that
mentioned,
is true.
Reigning for I think more than a month in WCW.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's in the best shape of his life, but I will say that once you hit that world champion, you know, tier,
mm-hmm.
then you get slotted in to more rematches because the promoters are like, well, I don't want to like throw some Joe Nobody in there. Yeah. I want to throw David Arquette, you know, star of movies.
He's
such
a big
as,
name.
Such as movies. So I think that we could see him going for a world title again very soon, even if that world title is only defended in like Delaware,
the Delaware World Heavyweight Championship.
It's a world unto itself. don't at me, people from Delaware. Yeah,
that's fair.
So Kevin Owens 2 weeks ago on Raw quit,
mm-hmm.
and then last week he showed up again. Mm-hmm. What happened? Why did he have a change of heart?
I gotta be honest. I think I know exactly what happened. Look,
oh, good.
It's no secret that Kevin Owens is a family man, and Those holidays are right around the corner. And I think he got the Christmas lists a little early this year from his children. He was like, oh boy, I got to go back to work. So I think he came back a tail between his legs, ready to get back on the grind.
What were the big ticket items that his son Owen was requesting on his Christmas list? Also, like, good on Owen. Like, school hasn't even started again for him, and he was like, all right, here's what I want for Christmas.
I think it's Owen knew what he wanted for Christmas. He's already had it down. I think that life-size cardboard cutout of John Cena is going to fit very well in his room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you know, it's a hot ticket item. It's going to cost a pretty penny. So, you know, old Papa Kevin has really got to get back on the grind.
Papa Kevin certainly does.
Yes. I have a great question for you. So on SmackDown a few weeks ago, we saw Samoa Joe attempt to invade the home of WWE champion AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And the following week, the SmackDown general manager, Paige, she came out and she declared that act of Samoa Joe trying to invade that home is the most horrendous thing that has ever been done in WWE history. Is she right, Andrew?
Maybe in the time that she's been general manager of SmackDown, sure. But there's a little name I'd like to throw out there that's probably the most horrendous thing that's ever happened in WWE television. I'm not going to go into it. You can Google it if you really want to, but don't do it while you're at work. Does the name Katie Vick ring a bell to you?
Vaguely, you know, it does. I'm kind of getting an idea in my mind. I think she might have played a role in some Big Red Monster's past.
Yeah, that Big Red Monster.
Just put a name to a face.
I wonder if that was brought up at all in that Big Red Monster's run for mayor of Tennessee or not. Clearly not, because he won. But that's, I think, true. That's probably the most despicable thing to ever happen. Also, what did AJ think was going to happen if you just put Styles in big, bold letters on your mailbox like that? Like, letting the whole world know,
right?
That's where he lives. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he's clearly not planning ahead. And I'm sure, you know, AJ is a student of the game. I'm sure, you know, he's privy to wrestling history. You know, a specific moment comes to mind where Stone Cold Steve Austin took a wonderful field trip to the home of Brian Pillman.
Oh, yeah. He was going to shoot himself. There was some weird, like, murder suicide.
He was
gonna
shoot somebody.
Yeah. That's another one that you should like Google, but not while you're at work. If it is in fact Ohio versus everything, then where will we see Sami Callihan and the Chris brothers strike next?
You know, that's a great question. You know, OVE, that's their whole mantra, you know, Ohio versus everything. And if I know Sami Callihan, and I'm pretty sure I do, I really think that we could see Sami Callihan showing up on a Hollywood red carpet. I think that's the next option. I think there's going to be a movie premiere or something where he's just certainly not feeling it. It might actually, you know what, it's probably going to be the next premiere of some sort of NASA film, because you do know a lot of astronauts do come from Ohio.
I don't think
Sami Callihan and the rest of OVE appreciate the idea of astronauts taking over all the glory coming out of Ohio, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that they might try to challenge, like, the two things that are the most unavoidable in life, death and taxes. So maybe they'll try to take on taxes next.
Maybe hit taxes in the face with a baseball bat.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So what I got for you, John Cena, the biggest star in WWE right now.
Yeah.
John Cena has been making a lot of posts on social media from China. Andrew, what's he doing in China?
Getting hair transplants, I guess, based on how he looked at the WWE Super Showdown. He was sporting a lot of hair that looked very odd on him. So I think he's probably doing some new age hair therapy there in China. That would be my guess. This one's a case of mistaken identity, I think. There's a new ESPN anchor named Charlie Arnold, and she looks a lot like WWE backstage interviewer Charlie Caruso. In fact, they even have the same first name. Do you think they know each other?
I mean, it's certainly possible. Do we know if Charlie is spelled the same way?
I believe it is.
Oh, wow, it is. Hmm. You know, it's rare enough that you find not only a woman named Charlie, but spelled the exact same way. Man, it's tough. You know, I gotta say it's probably a coincidence, though, because, I mean, you do know those WWE contracts are pretty binding, and so, I mean, mm-hmm. Charlie Caruso, I mean, she's probably very busy, very, you know, she's got a very tight WWE schedule, so, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think she's got a lot of time to be out making friends who just happen to have the same name as her.
Yeah, I think it would take too much time to get from Stamford, Connecticut to Bristol, Connecticut, where ESPN is.
Yeah,
I think
that's
too long of a drive.
Yeah, absolutely. I upgraded, you know, I got to be a little more environmentally friendly, you know, definitely, I'm going green. We're going green here on Much Ado About Wrestling.
Wonderful. Well, you want to flip the switch, pull the cord, hit the start button?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm just going to twist this knob and we're going to get going.
You're
going to
bop it?
All right, let's do it.
Oh, I feel like someone flicked me and bopped me and twisted me and whatever the fourth thing is. Bit.
It might even have twisted you, pulled you around. I don't know.
Yeah, but either way, we are here in the Kayfabe 5000. Mm-hmm. It's me, Andrew K. Faberline. It's the Professor Tyler Ward.
Yes.
We got some questions to answer.
And
we've got answers. Yeah, I got the first one for you. So Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight, is now the longest reigning WWE title holder in the modern era.
This is true, yes.
Does this make him the best wrestler in the world?
No. The best wrestler in the world is Shane McMahon.
Oh, that is true. He did win the World Cup.
He did just win the best in the world World Cup at the Crown Jewel. Coming up in Survivor Series, we're going to see an incredible match. We're going to see the Raw Women's Champion, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, taking on none other than the man, Becky Lynch. Now, given that both of these superstars, they like to attack their opponent's arms, it's their game plan. We've seen it time and time again. What is the likelihood, Andrew, that we could see Ronda and Becky break each other's arms simultaneously at Survivor Series? And what would the outcome of that be?
I think the likelihood is 100%.
100%.
You heard it here first. It's guaranteed to happen. Both of them have a finisher that is essentially an arm bar. There's Ronda Rousey's arm bar and Becky Lynch's disarm her. And I think you only need one arm to put it in. So
true.
I see
they
the
both
world.
Got two.
Yeah. So I think they're going to break each other's arms. And then I think in the case of that, I mean, as we saw last week at Crown Jewel, or as we maybe didn't see because people didn't watch it, what happens if a wrestler is too injured to continue, like The Miz, then you have to find a replacement. So I think what would happen is both Raw and SmackDown would have to send a, you know, executive who happens to be there with wrestling experience to go in there instead. So then I think for the fight would then end up being between Raw general manager Stephanie McMahon would be fighting against SmackDown president Shane McMahon to see who the best women's champion is.
That's a very good point you make there.
Yeah, I think that logically is what would happen.
Logically, that's pretty good.
That's about all the time we have for the campy stuff, which means we got one segment left on the show. Tyler, do you have your Kayfabe 5000 with you?
So yeah, I had it. Unfortunately, it's not working at the moment. I have
it's not working.
Taking a look at it. And
does anybody else have a machine?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny. You know, even though I've never heard of the show before, I did coincidentally. I've been working in my lab just late one night. And I happened to create a machine that I figured I'd call the Shot 5000. And I think
you know, that's trademarked.
Exactly.
That's what I thought
thing.
You were doing in your lab. You know, my lab and Matt's lab are right next door.
Yeah, they're right next to each other. And
he'd been pulling
so
some late nights. I'd seen.
There was he could just see a lot of flashing lights and the sound of drills and me going Eureka. you know, I think it does exactly the same thing as you. It's just I'll put it out here. You can see it's just kind of a big box with a button on top that says "Do not
button.
Push."
Oh, so we shouldn't push the button?
Well, I mean, we will now.
Oh, okay.
Because I just have to warn you that it things can get a little crazy. There's this mysterious figure that shows up sometimes when we push
the
button.
Higher power?
Well, he's certainly a higher power. I think maybe we should just push it and see what happens.
I'm down for it, Tyler, if you are.
Yeah, I'm always down for a good time. Let's do this.
Okay, I'm just going to kind of push the button and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Look what we have here. It looks like some more travelers have wandered into my domain. Oh, you look confused. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the archivist, and you, young boys, are no longer in the world that you know. You have entered into the Hall of Heroes, a place where all the greatest stories across all of space and time are kept. And I have very good news for you both. For tonight, we are going to engage in the greatest of all tales, the saga of the Shining Emblem. Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny. Now, before I share this tale with you, as is my sacred duty as the archivist, I'm afraid my story is missing one key ingredient, a hero. So one of you will serve as our story's hero for this evening. I believe it shall be you, Tyler. Yes, I know your name. I know many things. And you shall be the one to quest for the Shining Emblem tonight, Tyler. Do you think you're brave enough to take on this quest?
I mean, this isn't what I've been expecting, but, you know, I'm always ready for a challenge. I think Hulk Hogan taught me that, so let's do this.
Foolhardy, as all great heroes are. I'm glad to hear it, Tyler. Now remember, before your quest begins, you have one goal. You must find the Shining Emblem, an object of unimaginable power. Once seized, it will grant you one wish. So think carefully as to what that wish could be. Now then, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know your name too.
Yes, yeah, I thought you might.
You will also be an important figure on this quest because all great journeys need a beginning location.
Oh, okay.
And so you shall choose tonight's location.
I think our location tonight is going to be backstage at a pro wrestling event.
Backstage at a pro wrestling event. Very specific. I love it. Mm-hmm. Very well then. Tyler, allow me to explain how this shall work. I will narrate the story, playing all the characters in which you encounter. And at certain points in the tale, I shall turn to you and say, "What do you do?" And you shall reply with whatever you want. Literally say anything. And I shall change the story. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you say that, then it'll make sense in context. But there is one last thing I must do. Mm-hmm. For my visage, as it is now, is somewhat unappealing and, let's just say, hurtful to one's voice. Mm-hmm. So I shall use my dark black magics to transform myself into something a bit more pleasing to the ears.
Oh, good, because you look kind of disgusting.
How
right
dare
now.
You?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am ageless and immortal.
It doesn't mean
you look this good when you're no age.
Okay.
And now I have transformed into a healthy, handsome young man.
Oh, yeah.
And our story can begin.
That's an impressive gimmick right there.
Yeah.
Thanks. You guys are the expert on gimmicks.
Yes.
Now then, Tyler, our story begins. Backstage at a professional wrestling event. For the biggest wrestling federation, one that is worldwide, you might say.
Mm.
That's right. You are backstage at a Fire Pro Wrestling match.
Yes.
You're backstage eagerly awaiting the appearance of your favorite wrestlers, holding 8x5s of all of their headshots in your hand nervously. You can feel your palms beginning to sweat as the crowd roars. You've missed the entire wrestling match, but that's okay. You're just here for the autographs. You're standing back there, and all of a sudden you hear from the other side of a nearby door,
I heard there's some kids sneaking around back here trying to get autographs. I think he might be in this hallway over here. Let's go in and check out. It sounds like they're coming your way, Tyler. What do you do?
Oh, boy. How many 8x5s do I have? A large stack, a small stack?
It's a big stack.
If it were pancakes, it'd be a tall stack.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a tall stack. Okay. Are we talking multiple wrestlers or just a singular superstar opponent?
It's just one guy. It's one guy about 80 times. He has a lot of
headshots. One guy to sign several autographs. Okay.
It's Joe the Volcano.
Joe
the Volcano. He is quite over. All right. I look for a small cove that I could hide myself behind. Maybe it'd be an electrical box of some kind.
Perhaps. Well, Tyler, you're in luck. Ooh, you're in luck because this wrestling ring and general arena happens to be on a beach. So just nearby, there is a cove in which you could hide.
Are we at Bash at the Beach?
Yes, I think we're at Bash at the Beach. This is the pay-per-view.
That's exactly what this is. Mm-hmm. Fire Pro Wrestling's Bash at the Beach. There's a cove nearby. Mm-hmm. It's dark and spooky in there with a lot of water. Obviously, it's a cove. Mm-hmm. And a rickety old paddle boat sitting on one of the docks. It's not in the water. This thing doesn't look like it would get very far if it was in the water. You can only see back a little ways, and then it just gets darker and darker and spookier and spookier. And this is all inside the arena. It's one of those arenas that's just kind of built into a cliffside. So it just sort of becomes the locker rooms and backstage area just become a cove. So there is a cove there for you, and you dash into it. You hide behind some rocks, and the security guards pass by going, "Oh, I guess there's nobody here. Well, we could check in that cove." No, there's not going to be anybody foolhardy enough to go into that cove. Not with, well... We probably shouldn't talk about what's in there. Anyway, let's go find Joe. He should be coming back soon. Security guards walk off, and you're alone now. You hear strange echoing coming from behind you in the cove. It sounds like... chanting of some kind. It's very enticing. You could investigate if you felt courageous, or you could continue to wait for... your hero slavishly wait for your idol, Joe the Volcano. What do you do, Tyler?
Now, this is a pickle I am in. Because though I do want to acquire the signature of the great Joe Volcano, I do have a curious bone in my body that I must... I'm going to explore. I'm going to follow these chants, as you call them.
You weren't curious about the paddle boat at all?
That's fine.
That's right. I wasn't either.
It's not worth investigating. You move. You tentatively take steps deeper into the cave.
Do I hear what they're chanting? Can I make it out?
Well, as you move farther and farther in, it gets louder and louder, and it starts to make... You start to be able to make out words. It sounds like... And then you can clearly hear what they're saying is, "Tyler, Tyler, Tyler, Tyler." You move further and further in, and all of a sudden, you're a lot colder. You're not sure why, but it feels like there's a strong breeze, and you're not as well prepared for these elements as you thought you might have been when attending this match. And your eyes are so ill-adjusted to the darkness that now engulfs you, you can't even tell where you're going. You just continue to walk ahead until suddenly things begin to take shape and bright lights begin to surround you, and you find that you're in the middle of a wrestling ring, and it's your name they're chanting, and you look around. There's crowds with signs that say, "Get 'em, Tyler, and do the famous Wardlock." You look down and notice that you're barely wearing any clothes. You've just got on a little Speedo and some armbands and little tassels hanging off your arms. And you look around confused, not sure what's happening, when all of a sudden the lights dim. Fireworks fire off on the opposite side of the arena, and a large, hulking man comes in. It's your hero. It's Joe the Volcano. He comes in holding a microphone, and he points a finger menacingly at you and says,
I've been waiting to fight you, Big Baby Tyler. I think it's time we settled, because I'm about to go Mount Vesuvius on you as the lava begins to flow. And then this guitar just starts picking up like, bam, 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 the lava's gonna flow. And then real lava comes rushing out on the sides of that little like walkway that they come out of.
The ramp, yeah.
And the crowd production is going, value. Lava, lava,
this might
lava.
Be an Inferno match.
Yes.
Tyler, you're terrified. He's marching his way into the ring. You notice that in one of your hands is a microphone. You can respond to Joe's challenge. What do you do?
Well, I bring the microphone to my mouth and I say, "Look here, Mr. Volcano. I accept your challenge to your match, but first, would you have about 2 seconds to sign these large stack of commemorative 8x5s that I have for you?"
Thankfully, you still have the 8x5s. Joe goes, "Oh, a fan. Well, of course, Baby Tyler. I'd love to sign him for you so you can sell him on eBay." Whole crowd laughs. They love this line. You nervously hand him the headshots, and he goes, "Let me see you. Oh, you know what? I don't have the right pen for these. That's okay. I'll just store them over here." He throws the headshots into the lava, and they go up in flames. The crowd goes wild, and the headshots are gone. He's laughing and pointing at you and saying, "Oh, did you forget your diaper, Baby Tyler?" It's becoming more and more clear that at one point you may have wrestled under a persona that was a large baby.
As the baby.
But it seems like you've at least moved out of that. The whole crowd is laughing and pointing at you now. Even though Joe the Volcano is probably the villain in this situation, nobody really seems to be on your side. What do you do, Tyler? How do you win the crowd back?
All right. Well, as upsetting as it is that I lost that large collection of 8x5s that I had.
Probably had to pay a lot for those, too.
Yeah, so they were not cheap. I'm going to take my chance here to address Joe Volcano one more time. And I'm going to say, "Look here, Mr. Volcano. There was a time where you were a hero of mine. There was a time where I idolized you, but I can see now that you're not a hero at all. You, sir, are a dastardly villain. And what I'm going to do to you in this ring that we are standing in right now, surrounded by lava, you, sir, are going to meet a foe that you are not prepared for. You, sir, are going to meet the infant, Tyler Ward." And then I Hulk out, but like baby-wise.
Baby Hulk.
Tyler really embracing his old persona, just goes full baby.
Does the crowd go wild?
The crowd is hushed. And then from the very back, we hear somebody go, "We love you, Tyler!" And that's the thing that gives the crowd permission to go wild. They throw down their volcano signs, and they take off their hats, their signature Joe the Volcano hats that just look like big volcanoes on their heads. Mm-hmm. They throw those on the ground, and they put their diapers on their heads because they were ready to cheer for either one of you.
Did they have the diapers beforehand?
Yeah, they were. Okay. They're big fans, and they weren't sure. Yeah. They were kind of on the fence about who they were going to cheer for. So they've all got their diapers on their heads, and they go, "Tyler, Tyler, baby slam, Wardlock, Wardlock." They're all cheering for all the moves they want to see.
Yes.
And Joe is livid. He looks like he's about to erupt. He steps into the ring. The ref comes over to start the match. He picks up the ref. He throws him into the lava. And he goes, "We're not going to need a ref for this one, eh, Baby Tyler? Because the belt's on the line tonight. And I'm not letting anything stand in the way. Because just like lava, nothing can stop me." And he moves towards you menacingly. The match has begun. What do you do?
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to use my speed here. I know
your
that
baby speed.
My baby speed. I know that Joe Volcano is a hulking man. He's got quite a lot of more power upon me. But I'm low to the ground. I'm a baby after all. I'm quick.
Yes, you have also shrunk.
I have shrunk.
You are now the size of a baby.
I have baby speed. So I shall duck his incoming clothesline. I assume he's going for a clothesline. That sounds like
you assume correctly. He went right into a clothesline.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to duck that clothesline, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to hit him with a baby leg dropkick, one of my signature moves. This is going to stun Joe Volcano, I hope.
The announcer chimes in. He goes, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're off to quite a beginning here. Joe the Volcano coming right out of the gate with a clothesline, an ill-advised move against an opponent that is nigh 2 feet tall. And Tyler, the battling baby, quickly, easily dodges under it. And oh, he's scrambling onto the ropes. He's scrambling. It looks like he's going to do one of his signature moves. He pulls a cookie out of his diaper for energy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing his baby drop. He climbs up. He uses the ropes to bounce. And he brings his foot down on Joe the Volcano. Joe looks dazed. He's spinning around. He's not sure where he is. That foot really took it into him, didn't it, Phil? Yeah, that's right, Mick. That foot really notoriously can stun almost any opponent, except, of course, when Tyler went up against Billy the Boulder, who was a literal boulder. But that, of course, is available on our app, the Fire Pro Wrestling app. Subscribe now for all past matches. Great plug there, Mick. Now then, moving on, it looks like, Joe's getting ready for something big. He's reaching into his Speedo. He's pulling out. Oh, no. It's his lava cannon. Now, for those of you at home who are unfamiliar with the lava cannon, this is a famous move of Joe the Volcano. It's just like a big trough that he pulls out of his Speedo, and then he puts it in front of his mouth, and he eats a bunch of hot Cheetos and Doritos, and he's piling them in there, and then he spews fire down the trough, and he puts the whole ring of flame in a way of, well, murdering his opponent, but this is Fire Pro Wrestling, and he's living up to our namesake right now. The baby, Tyler the battling baby, doesn't have much time to come up with a defense against this one. What is he gonna do?
The baby, the battling baby, Tyler Ward, is going to... we're in the ring right now, and I know the trough of lava and Cheetos is coming towards me.
Yeah, it is a large wooden ramp slash trough that he has put up against his mouth, and he's ready to spew fire and lava into as soon as he's done eating.
Fair. And I know the ring is also now surrounded by the other lava, of course.
Yeah. Yes. It is fair because the referee is in the lava, so there's no rules.
He's slowly sinking.
That is right. The bell never rang, so.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to use my baby speed once again to... I'm going to run straight for Joe. I'm running straight for him. I'm going to get right under that trough and get under his legs. He's not prepared for that. So he was expecting to fight me facing forward, but I'm a baby, so I went under him. So now I'm behind Joe, and I have a good positioning here for one of my signature moves. It's called the pacifier. Now this one, I'm gonna springboard off the ropes. That's when you bounce into him and then jump off him. I'm a baby, though, so my legs are not too strong, but strong enough to get me up there. I'm going to springboard upon Joe's shoulders. And from there, I can attach myself to his head area. And the pacifier move, of course, it's where I take one of my super powerful baby legs and place it into his mouth.
That's the most elaborate answer I've heard for any of these prompts that you've given.
That's great. You're making my job very easy. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, he's having some trouble getting that. Oh, but no, his foot is in the mouth of Joe the Volcano. Joe looks perturbed. He doesn't look like he wants to, but then he starts sucking on that leg and he quickly is pacified. His eyes glaze over as he enjoys sucking on the leg of that baby. This is honestly a disturbing sight. A man with nacho cheese and Cheetos and all sorts of things all over his mouth just sucking on the leg of an infant. It just goes to show anything can happen in wrestling. And it looks like he's getting woozy and sleepy. He's starting to fall over. If Tyler makes the right move here, this could all be over. Tyler, what's he gonna do?
Don't run out of steam.
Tyler sits on the head for a minute, unsure of what to do. He looks around. He looks around at the crowd. What do I do? He seems to say to them with his face. The audience looks back, obviously gesturing, Wardlock. Wardlock, Tyler, this is the time to do the Wardlock, your most notorious move. Do you want to do the Wardlock, Tyler?
Yes, I do. I want to do the Wardlock.
Tyler raises his arms in the air, signaling the Wardlock is coming, and everybody goes silent because they know what's coming. It sounds like, here it comes. He's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. This is what we paid for. Oh my God, it's going to happen.
These are very polite fans.
Well, they're all whispering to each other because they know they need silence for this. That's when an aura begins to surround Tyler. An aura that causes him to grow to the size of an adult man and becomes wrapped in a Starfield cloak. He has transformed into his alter ego, the Wardlock, the most powerful warlock in all the realm. He twinkles his hands, and with a snap of his fingers, a giant lock appears. Like a bicycle lock. Mm-hmm. He wraps it around the neck of Joe the Volcano and slams him into the ground, locking it shut. Joe the Volcano snaps to his senses, feeling around his neck, realizing he's just been wardlocked. No, no, he cries. Not the wardlock. I can't get up. That's when the upper half of the body of the ref crawls into the ring. His bottom half completely engulfed in flames and disintegrating. He crawls over to Joe the Volcano. Joe struggles with the lock. No, no, not like this. Not again. Not when I was so close. The ref goes, one, two, three. You're round, you're done, it's a pin. The Wardlock lifts his arms in a state of bliss as he slowly returns to his baby form, and the crowd goes wild. They have just seen wrestling history. Not only have they seen lava engulf an arena and kill several patrons, and now definitely a referee. They've seen a baby become a man, become a baby again, and achieve the title of world champion. Ladies and gentlemen, your champion, the battling baby, Tyler Ward. From above you, a belt begins to lower, but that's not the belt you recognize. No. In the middle is not the logo for the Fire Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, shining beacon. It is the very object which you see all along. The shining emblem. It lowers down in front of you and you hear a calming, angelic voice. Hello, Tyler.
Is it a signed 8x5?
No, no, Tyler, I am not a signed 8x5. I am the shining emblem. I am the object for which you quested, and I am here to reward you on your vainglorious victory with one wish. Choose wisely, Tyler. What do you wish? Anything in the world, it can be yours.
Think about this. You can get anything in the world, Tyler.
I think I know what you want.
Go ahead and say it.
Very well, Tyler, I have read your mind. And your wish is granted. The emblem disappears, breaking apart into 7 pieces that spread across the world and turn to stone for 1 year. And in front of you, there's a dazzling flash of light. And suddenly, you see lowering down into your hands a glossy 8x5 photograph of Joe the Volcano from his Rumblin's a Comin' tour, where he had the brown and red fiery costume that you loved so much as a child. With best wishes, your pal Joe the Volcano, written in silver Sharpie on it. It lowers into your hands. You've succeeded in your quest. However, you probably should have used that wish on retaining a human, normal human form or getting out of this arena, because the lava that is slowly engulfing this arena continues to do so, and I'm afraid you have no way out. You are slowly engulfed by flames, ending your life, but you die in a state of pure bliss, because as you slowly sink into that fiery depth, a tear comes to your eye, and a smile grows across your face, because you have the autograph of Joe the Volcano. And with that, your quest is ended. Congratulations, you found the Shining Emblem, you succeeded, your reign as world champion shall live on forever.
Archivist, can I ask, the lava is still rising. Might we also die if we stay here any longer?
Ooh, we should probably go. You know what? Why don't I just undo the effects of this box and send you back to where you came from? That is one of my powers.
Oh, good.
And here we go! Hey, guys, you're back.
Oh, Jesus.
Did anything happen? I just kind of hit the button, and then you disappeared. And
oh, really? You didn't came back. You didn't come with us for that?
No, I missed everything.
But there was a whole like epic journey. Like Tyler became a baby, and then became a man who became a baby.
Oh wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like the kind of thing where I would, hearing that story, I would be enticed to go see a live show that would recreate something.
Would you pay $8 to see it?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, but I might have died.
Yeah, I thought you were dead, Tyler. I'm really happy to see you alive.
I think I might have died.
Wow. So I guess my box works, at least for you guys.
I would have to say it was overall an enjoyable experience. And I would probably, pay $8 for that to do that again.
All right.
And I would prefer that it would be at the Pit Loft in Manhattan, New York. On what day?
On March 2nd, maybe at 10:30 p.m. You know, a nice evening show.
But there's one more thing that doesn't check out. What did you do for that whole 30 minutes that we were just...
I just twiddled my thumbs.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. That is about all the time we have on the show. Thank you for doing this with us, Matt. Really going deep dive. Can you say that you learned anything about wrestling while you were here?
I certainly learned a little bit about wrestling, certainly about wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
My palate has been expanded as to the people I could pull from. If somebody was like, name a wrestler, I could say...
Joe the Volcano.
Joe the Volcano.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.